Katie Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The occupation says that by killing the journalists, the truth will be stopped and that its crimes will not be exposed. But I tell the occupation that your bombardment on us increases our determination and resolve in conveying the voice of the suffering of our people in Gaza, and we show your crimes against our Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip.
Correspondents Anas al-Sharif, Mohammed Kreka, Ibrahim Zahar and Mohamed Aliwa and Mohamed Nufa. Israel assassinates these five members of Al Jazeera's team outside Al Shifa Hospital in Gaza, hours after Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says he may allow international journalists into Gaza.
In fact, we have decided and I've ordered, directed the military to bring in foreign journalists, more foreign journalists, a lot. There's a problem of assuring security, but I think it can be done in a way that is responsible and careful to preserve your own safety. So the directive has been since, when is it? 2 days ago.
We'll speak with Al Jazeera's managing editor. Then this is not aid, this is orchestrated killing. Doctors Without Borders calling for the closure of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation said centers in Gaza after more than 1,400 Palestinians were killed trying to access aid there. We'll get response from Avril Benoit, CEO of Doctors Without Borders. And as President Trump vows to deploy hundreds of National Guard to evict homeless people from Washington, D.C., today is the first day of a trial in which California's challenging Trump's attempt to control California's National Guard and deploy troops to quell ICE protests in Los Angeles. We'll speak with California Attorney General Rob Bonta. Finally, as activists document the mass raids terrorizing immigrant communities, ICE in Los Angeles arrested an activist Friday while she was recording their operations.
We know that Amanda did nothing wrong. She actually did it. What we should all be doing. We should all be documenting these fascist kids. We should all be taking pictures of them. We should all be making them feel ashamed.
All that and more coming up. Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Israeli military has assassinated one of the most prominent journalists in Gaza, Al Jazeera correspondent Anas al-Sharif, along with four of his colleagues at the network. They were killed in an Israeli airstrike on a media tent outside Al-Shifa Hospital. Al Jazeera decried the targeted killing as a, quote, desperate attempt to silence the voices exposing the impending seizure and occupation of Gaza, unquote. Funerals are ongoing today for Anas al-Sharif, his fellow colleague Mohammed Kareka, cameraman Ibrahim Zahar and Mohamed Aliwa, and their assistant Mohamed Nufal. The attack came just weeks after Al Jazeera, the Committee to Protect Journalists, and a top UN official all warned al-Sharif's life was in danger after Israel accused him of being a member of Hamas without evidence. Israel took responsibility for Sunday's strike. At the time, UN Special Rapporteur Irene Khan blasted Israel for spreading unfounded accusations about him. Today, she called for sanctions against Israel for murdering the Al Jazeera team. According to officials in Gaza, Israel's killed 238 journalists over the past 22 months. On Sunday, fellow Palestinian journalist Ibrahim Abu Musa condemned Israel's targeting of journalists.
The occupation says that by killing the journalists, the truth will be stopped and that its crimes will not be exposed. But I tell the occupation that your bombardment on us increases our determination and resolve in conveying the voice of the suffering of our people in Gaza, and we show your crimes against our Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip.
We'll speak with the managing editor of Al Jazeera after headlines. In other news on Gaza, the United Nations Security Council held an emergency meeting Sunday over Israel's plan to expand its military operation and to seize Gaza City and other areas. Britain, France, Greece, Denmark, and Slovenia issued a joint statement saying the plan risks violating international humanitarian law. Meanwhile, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has announced Australia will recognize a Palestinian state in September following similar calls by Britain, France, and Canada. This comes as health officials in Gaza say at least five more Palestinians, including a child, have starved to death over the past day, bringing the total to at least 222, including over 100 children. On Saturday, a 15-year-old boy named Mohamed Eid was killed in Nusayrat after being hit by an aid pallet that had been dropped from the air into Gaza. This is Mohamed's brother.
Despite the famine and the hard conditions that we live in, my brother went to get aid that was dropped into the sea by airplanes. A box fell on him directly and he was martyred.
In Israel, as many as 100,000 people rallied in Tel Aviv Saturday to oppose Prime Minister Netanyahu's plan to escalate the Gaza war. This comes as families of hostages held in Gaza have called for a general strike to oppose Netanyahu's plan. This is Lishay Lavi. Her husband, Omri Miran, is still being held hostage in Gaza.
We are here today to call on Israel's largest companies, trade union, and the tech sector to stop everything in order to save our hostages and our soldiers. We are doing this because we have no choice.
Major protests were held this weekend from Malaysia to Turkey against Israel's plans to expand the war on Gaza. In London, police arrested 532 people at a protest to show support for the group Palestine Action, which has been banned by Britain as a terrorist organization. In news from the West Bank, the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem has published footage of an Israeli settler fatally shooting the prominent Palestinian Alda Hatalin. The footage was recorded by Hatalin himself on his phone. The settler, Inon Levy, can be seen firing a shot. Then the footage cuts off after Hatalin is hit. Levy was briefly held under house arrest, but has since been released. In Sudan, 63 people have died of malnutrition in the city of Al-Fashir in northern Darfur, according to a health official in the region who spoke to AFP, Agence France-Presse. Al-Fashir has been under siege by the UAE-backed rapid support forces who've been in conflict with Sudan's army since 2023. The death toll is likely an undercount since it only includes people who were able to reach hospitals in the area. President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin will hold their summit in Alaska on Friday. European leaders are calling for Ukraine to be involved in the talks. They've offered their own counterproposal, rejecting a Russian plan that would trade Ukrainian-held parts of the Donetsk region for a ceasefire. This, according to reporting by the Wall Street Journal. On Sunday, Russia and Ukraine traded drone attacks, with Ukraine hitting the southern Russian region of Saratov, killing one person and damaging several apartments and an industrial facility. On Sunday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called for more pressure on Russia to end the war.
We clearly understand the threats. All our partners understand the threats just as clearly. Everyone sees that there has been no real step from Russia towards peace, no action on the ground nor in the air that could save lives. That is why sanctions are needed, pressure is needed, strength is needed. The strength, first and foremost, of the United States, the strength of Europe, the strength of all nations in the world that want peace and stability in international relations. If Russia does not want to stop the war, then its economy must be stopped.
The New York Times has revealed President Trump has secretly signed a directive approving the Pentagon's use of military force on foreign soil to target Latin American drug cartels. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum lashed out at Trump's move, saying, quote, the United States is not going to come to Mexico with the military. We cooperate, we collaborate, but there's not going to be an invasion. That is absolutely ruled out, absolutely ruled out, she said. Earlier this year, the Trump administration designated 7 organized crime groups in Mexico as foreign terrorist organizations. In the latest escalation against his perceived political enemies, President Trump's Justice Department launched investigations into New York Attorney General Letitia James and California Senator Adam Schiff. Attorney General Pam Bondi has tapped a special attorney to investigate mortgage fraud claims against Schiff and James. The DOJ also issued a subpoena to James for records about her successful civil lawsuits against the Trump Organization and the National Rifle Association. Letitia James won her civil case against Trump back in 2023, accusing him of unlawfully inflating the value of his properties to receive favorable deals on loans. A Peruvian immigrant, Sergio Alberto Baco Mercado, held at the ICE facility at 26 Federal Plaza here in Manhattan, has filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration condemning his conditions in detention in the federal building. Mercado was arrested Friday after making a scheduled court appearance there. His lawsuit alleges immigrants have to sleep on concrete floors and lack access to a lawyer, and that dozens of people are crammed into a small space. Meanwhile, New York City police arrested 15 people at a protest near 26 Federal Plaza Friday. They were demonstrating against the deplorable conditions faced by immigrants in ICE detention. President Trump removed the head of the IRS shortly after a conflict over tax data used to help locate undocumented immigrants, according to a Washington Post report. IRS Commissioner Billy Long was a former Republican congressman nominated by Trump to lead the agency and was only in the job for 2 months before he was removed. The Department of Homeland Security had sent the IRS a list of tens of thousands of names that were suspected of being illegally in the country, but the IRS was able to verify less than 3% of the names submitted. The White House then requested additional information, which the IRS declined to provide. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is facing criticism after reposting a CNN video of the Christian nationalist pastor Doug Wilson, who believes women should not be allowed to vote. Hegseth attached a message to the video saying, "All of Christ for all of life." Wilson's the co-founder of the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, an ultra-conservative Christian church. Wilson also claimed slavery promoted, quote, affection between the races, unquote, in the South. The Pentagon's confirmed Hegseth is a member of a church affiliated with Wilson's movement. President Trump's calling on homeless people to immediately move out of Washington, D.C. It's unclear what legal authority the president could use to evict people. It comes as the administration is reportedly preparing to deploy hundreds of National Guard troops to the nation's capital. President Trump's planning to hold a news conference today on crime in D.C. This despite the fact that rates of violent crime in Washington, D.C. have been falling in recent years. The Trump administration is looking for a $1 billion settlement with UCLA in exchange for over $500 million in research funding after the Justice Department accused the school of alleged anti-Semitism on campus. That's according to a draft settlement agreement viewed by the New York Times. California Governor Gavin Newsom called the settlement proposal extortion. It comes as Columbia University agreed to pay over $220 million to settle with the government after Brown University agreed to spend $50 million in local workforce development programs under pressure from the Trump administration. The leaders of Armenia and Azerbaijan met with President Trump Friday and signed an agreement aimed at ending decades of conflict. Under the deal, the U.S. would be given exclusive development access to a new transit corridor through Armenia that would link Azerbaijan to an enclave sandwiched between Armenia and Turkey. The corridor will be called TRIP. That's the Trump route for international peace and prosperity. Iran criticized the U.S. plan for the transit corridor, which would run close to the Iranian border. Colombian presidential candidate and Senator Miguel Uribe died today, 2 months after he was shot at a campaign rally in the capital, Bogota. Uribe underwent emergency surgery after being shot and was hospitalized in intensive care since June before succumbing to his injuries. The suspect is a 14-year-old boy. He was arrested at the scene. Police have detained several others in connection with the shooting. On Saturday, twin bells tolled in Nagasaki as the city commemorated 80 years since the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb. The attack on August 9, 1945, killed at least 74,000 people 3 days after the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, which killed over 140,000 people. At the ceremony in Nagasaki, the mayor called for an end to all wars, saying, quote, if we continue on this trajectory, we will end up thrusting ourselves into a nuclear war, unquote. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Gaza, where the Israeli military has admitted assassinating one of the most prominent journalists in Gaza, Al Jazeera correspondent Anas al-Sharif, along with four of his colleagues at the network. They were killed in an Israeli airstrike on their media tent outside Al-Shifa Hospital. Al Jazeera decried the targeted killing as a, quote, desperate attempt to silence the voices exposing the impending seizure and occupation of Gaza, unquote. Funerals were held today for Anas al-Sharif, his fellow correspondent Mohammed Kareika, the cameraman Ibrahim Zahir, and Moman Aliwa, and their assistant Mohammed Nufal. The attack came just weeks after Al Jazeera, the Committee to Protect Journalists, and a top UN official all warned al-Sharif's life was in danger after Israel accused him of being a member of Hamas. At the time, UN Special Rapporteur for Freedom of Opinion and Expression, Irene Khan, blasted Israel for spreading unfounded accusations about him. Today, she called for sanctions against Israel for the murder of the Al Jazeera team. According to officials in Gaza, Israel's killed 238 journalists over the past 22 months. This is part of an obituary report by Al Jazeera on Anas al-Sharif.
He was one of the most recognizable voices reporting from Gaza since the war began in October 2023. Among the few international journalists who remained in northern Gaza throughout the conflict, broadcasting even as Israeli forces ordered more than a million Palestinians to evacuate the area. Born in Jabalia refugee camp, al-Sharif graduated from Al-Aqsa University's media faculty. He became one of the key voices from Gaza's front lines. Throughout the war, the 28-year-old reporter paid a high personal price for his commitment to truth. In December 2023, his father was killed when Israeli forces struck the family home in Jabalia. This came weeks after death threats. Israeli officers told him to stop reporting, but he refused. When a ceasefire came into effect in January, relieved Palestinians celebrated as Anas shed his protective gear. The joy was short-lived. Israel broke the ceasefire in March. And in recent weeks, the pressure intensified. The Israeli army targeted him and his colleagues online, falsely accusing al-Sharif of being a Hamas member. Al Jazeera strongly denies those claims. The Committee to Protect Journalists warned his life was in acute danger. They called for international protection, but it never came. Anticipating his murder by Israeli forces, a pre-prepared message was posted on his X account after his death, saying, if these words reach you, know that Israel has succeeded in killing me and silencing my voice. I have lived through pain in all its details, tasted suffering and loss many times. Yet I never once hesitated to convey the truth as it is, without distortion or falsification, so that God may bear witness against those who stayed silent and accepted our killing. He ends, "Do not forget Gaza, and do not forget me in your sincere prayers for forgiveness and acceptance."
Those the words of Anas al-Sharif, the Al Jazeera correspondent, to be released only if he was dead. That obituary report by Al Jazeera. NPR reports this marks the first time since October 2023 that Israel's military so quickly claimed responsibility after it killed a journalist in a strike. In fact, it killed the whole five-member Al Jazeera team that was camped out under a tent at Al-Shifa Hospital. The attack came hours after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he may allow international journalists into Gaza.
In fact, we have decided, and I've ordered and directed the military to bring in foreign journalists, more foreign journalists, a lot. There's a problem of assuring security, but I think it can be done in a way that is responsible and careful to preserve your own safety. So the directive has been since, when is it? 2 days ago.
To preserve your own safety, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said to the International Press Corps at the news conference. Hours later, Israel assassinated the five-member Al Jazeera team that had a media tent outside Al-Shifa Hospital and took responsibility for that strike. For more, we're joined in Washington, D.C. by Mohammed Mawad, managing editor of Al Jazeera. Mohammed, our deepest condolences for the death of your Al Jazeera staff in Gaza. Just before we went to air, I watched the Doha offices of Al Jazeera, where scores of journalists and staff and workers gathered, holding up the pictures of not only the five men who were killed, and we're talking about 25 and 26-year-olds. Anas al-Sharif is 28 years old, younger than Democracy Now. Not only holding up their pictures, but holding up the pictures of other Al Jazeera staff, journalists, correspondents who have been killed in the West Bank and Gaza. First, your response to Israel assassinating five members of your team, five more members led by Anas al-Sharif, who'd become famous worldwide to the audience who watches Al Jazeera Arabic for describing what was happening in Gaza.
Thanks, Tammy, for having me, and thanks for the time. It's a devastating loss. Anas and Mohammed were the voices you heard from Gaza's shattered streets, the steady tone that made chaos comprehensible. Mohammed and Anas were the eye behind the lens, catching all the details to the world from Gaza City. They were the only two prominent voices left in Gaza. You've heard Prime Minister Netanyahu admitting that no international journalist is allowed to enter Gaza until he directed his team to allow them 2 days ago, subject to security issue. So you have seen that admittance. He said it on his own words. And at the same time, you've seen silencing local journalists. The pattern is clear, degrading, delegitimizing, smearing, and then killing, justifying the killing by unfounded allegations. You haven't seen presented evidence. You haven't seen any evidence of these allegations. But the world would say that the IDF claimed blah, blah, blah. So that's what we have been seeing from the Israeli government from the start of this war. The fact that they have claimed the assassination of Anas al-Sharif right after carrying the attack means that all other journalists killed by Israel, over 200 journalists killed by the IDF, where you know, no one was held accountable to that. So they felt like the journalistic community around the world and the international community isn't concerned about what's going on, so we can continue the pattern. So Anas and Muhammad's voices aren't silenced. They're the truth that they have been carrying to the world since the beginning of the war would echo in our coverage. We will continue the coverage. We aren't in the business of weaponizing our platform against anyone, but to give voice to the voiceless and to make sure that Gaza's story is told to the world. We are scrambling around right now to find someone who can report it from inside Gaza City. We have seen the announcement from the Israeli government that they are unleashing a new operation in that area. And that came right before targeting and killing Anas al-Sharif and Mohammed Qareeqa, the only two prominent and left voices there. So the fact that Anas and Mohammed weren't on a front line or in a military zone, not a collateral damage like the IDF used to say, they were in the last fragile refuge left for them, a tent that they fled to after their homes were destroyed by Israeli airstrikes. They were there. They thought that this tent would, like, you know, they are in a tent, they are safe. The Israeli government wouldn't target a journalist or kill a journalist in his tent or something like that. But no, the assassination attempt was clear. The threats that Anas received days ago and since the beginning of this war was true. They have planned it, and Anas was very resilient. I mean, we have been placing pressure on Anas and his colleagues to stay safe, to stop the coverage. Anas fainted at one moment on air while reporting because of starvation, and he did not stop the coverage. Sometimes he struggled to feed his family. He did not back down. He did not stop the coverage. He continued the coverage. He used to say to us, Gaza's story is my story. I'm not getting out of here. This is my people. At a certain time, Anas al-Sharif criticized the whole situation of the international journalistic community and called for the journalistic community to stand strong to prevent any harm for him. But it seems like what's happening right now is beyond the imagination, Emily.
Let me ask you, a sixth journalist, Mohammed Al-Khaldi, who worked as a freelance reporter, was also killed in the strike that targeted your team, the five members of the Al Jazeera team. That's according to the director of Al-Shifa Hospital, right? That tent was right up against the hospital in the courtyard. That's according to Al-Shifa Hospital director, Dr. Mohammed Abul Samia. Do you know anything about him?
Of course. Those are photographers who were working with Anas and Mohammed Qareeqa and bringing all the images from inside Gaza City. You know, the number of journalists are very limited in Gaza City reporting from there after targeting so many journalists in that area. This is a frontline area. The whole area is a frontline itself.
Also, just looking at Agence France-Presse's description of the funeral today, their bodies wrapped in white shrouds with their faces exposed were carried through the narrow alleys to their graves by mourners, including men wearing blue journalist flak jackets. His father, Anas al-Sharif's father, was killed December of 2023 when an airstrike targeted their home in Jabalia, where Anas himself grew up. I wanted to ask you, Mohammed, as we just said, I watched that ceremony in your headquarters in Doha, where people stood in the offices and also were beamed in, like Irene Khan, the special rapporteur on freedom of expression. She called for Israel to be sanctioned for the killing of these journalists, and also talked about, and we saw it in the report, Jody Ginsburg, the head of the Committee to Protect Journalists, Irene Khan, Al Jazeera itself, understood how targeted Anas was when he was getting warnings by Israeli officials